September 19th, 2019, workshop at 5:30 for water tap fees, followed by a workshop for mobile home park permits, 6 o'clock.
So we got a quorum, so we know everybody. All set. I'd like to welcome everyone to a workshop this evening for September 19th. 19th, right? To discuss water tapping fees at the request of the water superintendent, and we're actually going to also look at our water rates to make sure that we are in fact in keeping with the cost of service and water, and making sure that we are staying out of the red. So with that, I know, Jesse, you wanted to get the board together to have everyone in one room so you could talk with us about it. So I'm going to turn it over to you. Maybe run down what the current rates are and where you want to see some changes on the buy-ins first, if any at all.
Well, we've got tapping fees, and we charge the same fee for each of our services, whether it's a 3/4-inch service or a 3-inch service that we're doing. And we're performing the same work, basically. However, the cost of the materials that's included in this tapping fee that we have is getting pretty close to the edge of not being covered when you start adding in the manpower, the machinery, and the stuff that we do with it. I've got an example there of Queensbury's, and Queensbury's updated theirs again since this, I found out.
Did they increase their prices too?
Again. And but you can see that the tapping fee alone for their short is the same as ours, approximately. It's $14.50 for a 1-inch tap. Ours is $1,400. Now, if we go across the road, ours is $1,400.
Yeah, and that costs more.
And, of course, that costs us more money because you're talking about another 50, 60 feet of copper. You're talking a mole. We have to mole across the road and do different things. And there's always element for, not error, so to speak, but, for losing the mole, for the mole going awry. I mean, it's not a directional. You line it up and you level it up and you let her go and you hope that it goes where it's supposed to and doesn't hit anything it's not supposed to. But it's a chance, and I mean it's worked good. We haven't lost it yet or hit anything yet, so we're good with that. But in the meantime, you start adding that stuff in, and I see where they come up with their $2,600. And then if you take the open cut, which is they cut the road. And then you have to replace the blacktop and all that stuff, and now you've got traffic control and different things that you're involved in there. And I kind of think that, that we ought to maybe go on to that same kind of a sliding scale in order to recover the monies that we're putting into it and the effort that we're putting into it. We have a $1,700 buy-in capacity fee that we charge that goes along with our tapping fee that you don't see listed here for that for Queensbury, for instance. But it's a little different for us. We're doing that for the sole purpose of people when they come on. Let's say you've been on District 2's water for 30 years and you've paid into that district and everything, and then Don comes and builds a house in District 2 and just starts paying the same reduced rate that you pay. Well, that buying capacity kind of catches him up a little bit to what you're paying, plus it goes toward the refurbishing of the towers. It's supposed to anyways, if there's a separate account set up for it, and I don't know that there is. That's not my end. That's something I've always been curious about. When these fees are paid, is $1,700 go into a certain account, $14 go into something else, or does it all go into one?
Yeah, no, I believe it goes into the revenue account for that particular water district. If and my goal down the road is to come up with a fair way to consolidate the districts, but that's going to take a little time to come up with a fair process for those that don't have debt versus those that still have debt. But I think if you once that consolidation occurs, then you can do an earmarked account for, you know, upgrades or painting towers and things like that. You could, like a portion of that fee could go into it.
Well, I think in the meantime that we ought to, you know, these fees here we don't have to follow, but I would like to get the upgraded fees from them. And
oh, this isn't the upgraded?
Well, this was done May 21st, and yeah. I gave it to you as soon as I got it, but I understand the other day from somebody that they've got new fees, you know, that they changed everything again up there, and I think it would benefit us to look at it and see if it doesn't, you know, wouldn't kind of fit for us too a little bit.
So the other issue that Jesse, you and I discussed was, you know, we have some either businesses or structures that are requiring larger lines for them.
Yeah.
And from a meter standpoint, it's a lot more money.
Right.
So do you need? Are you looking for changes on how we charge
that? Well, if they're going to have to pay for the meters. I mean, the meters are separate. We've always supplied up to a 1-inch meter. I think they should pay for their meters. If they're going to get a 6-inch line, for instance, the new medical building down here is going to have a 6-inch line coming in. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a 6-inch octave meter made by Master Meter that we, you know, because we standardized on that and we can read it remotely and everything, and they'll have to pay for that. Mm-hmm. However, we'll have to pay for it first. We'll have to buy it up front. We'll have to get reimbursed from that. And I'd like to be able to, you know, look at the board and say, you know, we're ready. We need to order this. If they're 6 months down the road, they're waiting for it. We need to get an order in, like right now, because right now, I'm waiting for just standard meters, and they're telling me ship date of November 11th, and I got people standing in line. I'm going to start putting old meters back in and using the data on them, so that, you know, just to get people by in these new homes and stuff until we get the new meters in. There's a backlog on them.
Mm-hmm. Well, my position is I don't think that the water district users should be subsidizing those increased costs. Plain and simple. You know, somebody comes in with something that's, you know, over and above the 1-inch, and, you know, we need to account for that.
Well, we put a 3-inch, how this got started, I think it came, we did a 3-inch sprinkler line for one of the Ames service houses down on Daffodil, I believe it was.
Right. Yeah.
And if you look at what a 3-inch, you know, a 3-inch service runs from Queensbury, if they're on here. But we did it anyways. I mean, if you go to the 2-inch open lawn cut, it's $5,400. We charged them $3,100. And that didn't even cover our...
That didn't cover our
cost. It didn't cover our cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that particular one.
We shouldn't be doing anything that doesn't cover our cost.
Okay. I agree.
Yeah.
Do you have another issue also that you wanted to kind of... was part of this, and correct me if I didn't hear it correctly. Are you not in a situation today with our current procurement policy that you can't go buy the parts you need?
Well, I've got a list here that, like, the parts that were needed for one service on an 8-inch line from Ferguson, I think I gave everybody a copy of that, too. It came to $1,100. And, I mean, if I was going to go, like, the McKenna job that I just did, where the service, I had to do 3 services for them up there, and those parts cost me $1,500, and I can't without board approval, and I got to get them. I mean, it's not like, you know, I can go without them. I have to have them to do the job, but I can't just go out north, which, you know, I'm not in the habit of going around and not getting quotes and stuff or something like that. It's not that. It's just... in a regular tap, just a regular 1-inch tap, I'm running close to the edge of $500. I can't get everything I need for a 1-inch tap.
Yeah, I mean, so...
You get a roll of copper, a roll of copper is $506.
Yeah. So is this inventory that we would definitely use, or would be stocking inventory?
We're putting, you know, we had some inventory when I came, and I've been adding a little bit to it as we go here and there when I can do it. But once you use that inventory, it's like I used 1, 2, 3. I've used 4 saddle taps in the last week, and I haven't replaced them yet.
Yeah.
And they're going to be $100-something a piece. I mean, you're looking at $500 right there for those.
So.
Well, what I was looking to do was raise it to $1,000, and if anybody wanted to, you know, see everything that I'm doing, I don't have an issue with that. Not at all. But I would just like to be able to go pick up the stuff when they need it for a job.
So, are we kind of getting around the. I hate to see him in a spot where he can't deliver the tap, and,
yeah.
And the our procurement policy has a 500 limit. He can't even do the one install.
What I've been doing is, whether it's right or wrong or indifferent, I haven't put it on two slips. Going to the same job and putting it on two slips is less than $500. However, that's not the way to do it. You know, it should be on one slip for one job, and that should be that. You know.
Well, different departments have different. Requirements, you know, we have accommodation for highways, particularly things are a lot more expensive there. You know, I have no problem changing that policy for water superintendent.
What's your recommendation, Jesse, on the spending limit?
$1,000.
Limited specifically to anything, or just change it to $1,000?
If it's going to be more than that, then I have no issue at all. Bringing it to the board just like I did, and whoever I'm having to deal with, I can tell them, look, board meeting such and such a date, if this needs board approval, they'll have to wait. So and it's not, I don't think that's an issue. And if it becomes an issue, I can make a phone call.
Can we just go back and revisit quickly? Is this inventory that we could stock and have shelf ready? Maybe it's a larger purchase that's approved so that nobody's waiting and you're never caught up in a jam, or is this inventory that ages out and the new models are coming out?
To be honest with you, pretty much I've got what I need. But however, as I use that I have, and I have a stock, I have a tool. There's a tool room, old tool room, okay. in the old highway garage, okay. And I use that. It's shelved. It's got everything in there that I need. Now, if I'm going to go do a tap, say tomorrow morning, and I got to go do a 1-inch tap, I'll go take tap, the curb box, this, that, everything I need. But now I got to replace it.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to go, I can go do it tomorrow. But then I got to replace the stuff. So in order to replace it, now that's where the policy comes into effect that I can't replace it.
Yeah, I guess so. In my world, we do a lot with inventory, and so we set these mins and maxes. So we say I want to have a maximum of 5 of these items on the shelf.
Right.
When it gets to 3, I automatically order 2 more.
Right.
Is there I think I hear you saying you go do one install, then if you remember and you have time, you go buy and you replenish that one.
Well, first of all, our stock has to come out of Albany,
okay.
Clifton Park area. So for me to run down there for one tap, one corp, one this, one that, I don't think that's necessary. So if I've got 2 or 3 of these in stock and I use a couple of them, now I don't see any problem going. You know, I can justify the trip to go get what I need.
I guess that's more what
and restock it is what I'm saying, so that the next time around I'm ready to go.
I guess, and I won't keep going that direction, but just throwing out the thought that the inventory maybe should be a little bit higher, so that you aren't ever caught short. And so
I can do that to a certain point, and then it becomes, what district do I charge it to? Because I'm going to charge it to one of the 6 districts, okay? So if I'm just going to put some bench stock there, so to speak,
uh-huh.
what district do I charge it to? Because that's what I'll get asked by our auditor.
Understood.
Where did this go?
Understood.
Where did this go? Yeah.
How are you doing that now with the inventory you have?
Well, with the inventory I've got, if I need something, if I use it like I did a tap for Mansour over in District 4, and I got to do another one around the corner for him, so I get those 2 done, I'll get out and pick up the stuff I need, charge it to District 4.
Right, the stuff that's sitting in your inventory now, whose district is it charged to?
Good question. It's been bought for a period of time, and I can't tell you. It could be charged to 4, I have no idea. But when it gets replenished, it'll get charged to 4 again.
Can we have a holding account supervisor that is an inventory account that's not assigned? I mean, where do you have stock inventory that will at some future date be given out to some district? With only both of the districts, and until we do consolidation, that's like a nightmare to manage.
We can do, I think, on a ledger account basis, do a set aside or a dedicated account for a specific purpose within the water department. And then you wouldn't have to spread it out over the districts.
I'm certainly fine with raising his limit now, and that fixes an immediate problem. It just seems like the right solution longer term is to have enough inventory that we're not telling customers they have to wait. We're not running down to Clifton Park when we get to, and I would just think we'd want to have a little bit more. If you say this inventory is not going to age out, it's not, the model's going to change tomorrow.
The only thing that's going to age out over time is if, like right now, we can buy meters a whole lot cheaper by buying a whole pallet of them.
Usually, right.
Okay, but you're talking about buying 400 meters. Mm-hmm. Our meters are in. So now everything is for new builds. So now by the time you get to 400 meters, these meters are 7 or 8 years old, and your batteries, you know, are 8 years into their 10-year full replacement life. So, you know, that's kind of crazy to have stock, have that much kind of stock.
Understand on that.
But the other stuff, I don't have any. I have no problem stocking that stuff.
Well, none. Might be worth future conversation. Maybe your opinion on that. That would be my only other thoughts.
Okay.
The immediate needs, so it sounds like if we all agree to raise the spending limit, your immediate needs are met.
Yes.
Okay.
The only other thing that we had that is going up, and that's a budget item, is our water testing and whatnot rises a little bit all the time. We've got different things that the state requires every year between lead and copper, GHNs, HAFs, and our every day test for coliform and whatnot. Those things all rise, but I think we're in pretty good shape. But if push come to shove, we might have to add a little bit to those accounts.
What do we want?
Those are definitely, if you do something there, you definitely charge it to that account.
What do we want to do tonight to address the problem that exists where some people are costing us more than we're charging?
Yeah, so as the board is probably aware, I have to have the tentative budget done by the end of this month. We're on track to do that. And I think that these changes should be a part of the 2019 budget, which means we kind of have to decide pretty quickly what policy we want to have in place, because it's going to be a local law. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we can budget for it. It's not a problem. But to begin collecting those new fees will require a local law. Mm-hmm. So I think what I would like to hear tonight, thoughts on, you know, what Jesse has put out for numbers, whether you want to make those changes or you want to think about it more. Obviously, we're not going to act on anything tonight. But I would, if the board is inclined to act, I would like to do it for our next board meeting, which is Tuesday.
Well, do you have the recommendations? I mean, you're showing us what we have and what they have, and I like their model, pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it is, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to get the updated one, and I can get that by calling up there and they'll fax it.
It's not published. Their website's still publishing this one as their most current, but talk to Chris, maybe he can give it to you.
It's on the desk up there.
Oh, is it?
One of the guys took a sample up the other day, and they said they had a new one. They said, "You pick up a copy?" And he said, "No, they offered it to us, but we didn't take it."
Okay. Yeah.
But I can go get one. That's not an issue at all. Mm-hmm. And I can have it in your boxes tomorrow afternoon.
Is your recommendation to the board to follow a model somewhere there?
Well, I don't see any reason why not.
Do you need to include 3-inch on ours? What does their...
I wouldn't... Well, here lies the problem with that. We don't have the equipment to do a 3-inch tap. I have to borrow the equipment to do an 1.5-inch and 2-inch tap from the village. It's a small thing that we need to buy for our own machine. It's the same machine they got. We just need to add a couple parts to it, but it has to be borrowed to be used. I still have a good relationship with the cap up there. They'll give it to me if I ask for it.
<That's>
and it doesn't go anywhere else.
That's great. Well, should there's a change in relationship there at some point, we also have to be cognizant of the cost to us. So do you have an idea? You know, should be, like, if we're not able to get that free of charge, should there be a higher number in there? Like, if you have to do...
Absolutely.
Okay.
There should be anyways, because the equipment costs us more.
So what should the number be? Any ideas or recommendations?
We can follow suit with what Queensbury does if you want.
On this Okay.
Yeah, or you can use their updated one. I'll have a copy, like I said, I can have a copy for you tomorrow.
So, oh, go ahead.
I would encourage you to look at what this. I like this format. It's very simple, straightforward. If I'm a consumer, a builder, I see the pricing. Right. Transparency is cool. I would look to see what situations you find us in that this doesn't address and add them to it so that we have an all-encompassing sheet. I'd be curious what the cost of this equipment is that we're currently borrowing. I like free, but I'd be just curious, what, are we talking about expensive equipment?
No.
You're talking about equipment under $1,000?
Absolutely. You're probably talking less than a couple $100.
Okay. If we get in a situation where we can't borrow, we can buy.
Right.
I like the collaboration, cooperation.
Yeah, anything that fosters intermunicipal cooperation, I'm all for it. So did we change the local law to allow us to administratively change these costs? We did, right?
If I'm not mistaken, we came up with something at a board meeting, and Carlos made the comment to us that we don't have to ask. We were changing the water rates is what we were doing.
Right.
And she said, we don't have to ask about whether we can change them or not. We can change them at will. Change them as many times as we want.
Okay. For all districts, because I think there was a...
Yes. Thing.
Okay. So that's the water rates, and does that include the fees and per meter?
That I can't tell you.
All right. So I can look into that tomorrow, have her verify that. It would be because that make it a lot cleaner, and that's what our goal is.
And in the meantime, I'll get another sheet from Queensbury. I'll get the updated one.
All right. So
prior to the meeting, you'll have recommendations for the board to review on what you'd like to see us here, and then...
That sheet that I get tomorrow, I think, would be more than fair. Whatever they're charging up there, I don't think that somebody coming to this town would expect to pay anything less.
Can you get that to the board members no later than noon on Friday?
Tomorrow afternoon.
And I would ask the board members to provide comment to me on that, your thoughts on it, so that I can determine whether we're ready to put it on an agenda.
And the second agenda, the second resolution would be raising the spending limit?
Yes.
Yep.
Separate.
I'm good with both.
Okay.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah.
Anything else for us?
No, sir.
Good.
Did you
appreciate
want to? Was this also on the topic?
That's the next one.
Okay.
Next. Maybe that's six. I figured I'd give you 5 minutes to review since I just handed it out.
Good with me?
Yeah.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
Can you
put
that
in for me?
Yeah. So, open up the evening. Okay. I'd like to welcome everyone to the second workshop of the evening. Which is a workshop on mobile home park fees. The town board convened this meeting to have a discussion as a result of an inquiry from one of our mobile home park owners who thought that the fees were onerous and he was not receiving any service for those fees. And I looked into that matter and... you have a chart before you that spells out what the different mobile home parks in our town have paid over the years. You'll see some have been very consistent in paying not only their fee, but paying it on time. You'll also see that there are several years where it looks like in, 2013 through 2016, it was hit or miss on the fees being collected by the town of Moreau, and that certainly... from a business standpoint, unfair to those that are paying the fee. And so this evening, I wanted to go over the inspection program in greater detail to get the board's thoughts on whether they want to, A, continue the program, B, modify it, or... make changes that, partial changes to it. That would be a hybrid between not charging fees and charging fees. And one of the things that concerns me is, as I review council's memo, for the background on it, has come to my attention that the building department has not been making these inspections, and that is a problem if we're collecting fees for a service we don't provide. So we need to address that as well. So with that, I'm going to open it up for board member comments in general to see what your thoughts are on it. I know that if you look at the mobile home park inspection checkoff sheet that the building department is supposed to do, there's five things that that individual or building inspector is required to do, and one is to investigate the condition of the roads in the park, and he is to pass or fail them. There's no criteria for that anywhere in our code. Septic systems, he used to do inspections on those and do a pass or fail. We have no criteria for that, but we collect money for it. The third item for inspection is electric meter pans, whether or not they're numbered. I know that they are inspected when that office does the inspection, and the mobile home parks do a very good job of keeping them properly numbered. The next item on the inspection is how the refuse or garbage is stored, whether it's in a dumpster or container, so it's a checkoff. Not sure of the significance of that. And then the final item is whether or not the homes are numbered, and I know they're all numbered, especially from a safety standpoint for 911. So we have an inspection program in place. You have a spreadsheet on what the different mobile home parks are paying, whether or not they paid for 2018. You'll see all have paid this year, except for one. And the impact on the budget, if you look at the bottom number that the town clerk has collected, is approximately $4,000 a year. So that would be a $4,000 loss in revenue if we go ahead and don't do an inspection program and collect fees for it. My suggestion would be that we direct the building department, head of the building department, to reach out to the Department of Health and see what inspections are required under state law for mobile home parks from a health standpoint, mm-hmm. and maybe incorporate whatever they may be into this permitting process. We heard at a town board meeting from one of the, probably the largest mobile home park owners, that he didn't mind paying the fees if he was truly getting a service for them. And it's very clear to me that he is not. So that's why we're here tonight, to go over it and see what the board's pleasure is in moving forward.
I'd like the idea, if I may add, of an inspection process. But I wonder if we should almost either drop the fees for some and raise for others, not particularly, not based on who they are, just what it's going to turn out to be, so that we cover our man hours to do these inspections and to write the reports, and, you know, and so that we're not, so that we're certainly not going, spending money that we don't have, essentially, and the program is paying for itself. So some of the larger ones, they would pay a smaller fee. Maybe some of the smaller ones would pay a larger fee, but if they're getting a product at the end and if they have something that's useful to actually help keep the health and safety of our water and our neighbors, I think it has value. But to charge someone more just because their park is bigger and we haven't been performing this service, that is problematic for sure.
New York State's Department of Health is pretty strict in their guidelines, and the Department of Health doesn't have any current mandates that have any requirements for municipalities to provide these inspections or any guidelines. And I guess I need to know why we think we need to be doing them.
Mm-hmm.
The checklist that was used back before Ben and the prior person hasn't been touched or revised since then, I guess, from the discovery.
Right.
I'm a fan of exploring any of the equitable fee rates, but I don't know if I'm a fan of mandating the inspections if we're not required to do them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give up either.
That's a good point, too.
If we're not required to do them, then I'd want to see some really good reasons why they're beneficial to the community as to why we do them.
Okay.
And that checklist that we're currently using, I don't know how beneficial that really is.
Yeah.
The problem I have with the checklist is what you really pointed out. The checklist lacks definition of what's pass or fail. Now we're open to subjective opinion as whether a road's pass or fail, and that just all feels like a slippery slope. Well,
exactly. And the 3 points that the owner of the largest mobile home park made to myself, and I think the board also received a copy of his letter dated August, that came into my office August 27th. His first point was, why is there a need to inspect and pay a park permit fee for our community each year? We pay town taxes and water bills on each home and lot. The second item he wanted us to address is, he said, we purchase building and demolition permits and also apply for notice of intent to construct with the New York State Department of Health. Further guidelines included in these applications for permits are plot plans, setbacks, septic locations, mobile home size, floor plans, water supply, and permits for any new septic tank systems until the sewer project is approved. That's an aside, I guess, for the sewer vote. And his last item is, you know, why are we not inspecting RV parks, motels, shopping plazas, and apartment complexes annually?
Well, the last point is maybe not relevant, but his first 2 points are all about the initial install, and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
None of it addresses ongoing maintenance and upkeep,
right,
and that's why there's inspection. So I would lean back on what the requirements are. And so
right,
I would be concerned that we're meeting all the compliance requirements, but then I also would think that making sure that the roads are safe and passable for the tenants in there needs to be a responsibility of somebody. So I think we should explore what the requirements are, if there are any, and the guidelines, and I think we should comply with that. But his last one about why we do or don't expect others, I have no comment on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do some inspection on other properties.
I'm not 100% aware yet what kind of inspections happen for septics and particularly septic tanks and septic systems up and down, you know, our commercial district and our residential areas. But I know it's something that I think we should think about, though, in the future, just to make sure that everybody is whether it be if they're applying for variance or something. I feel that we have a lot of properties that are probably have what would be not passable septic systems at this point in time that are multi-family or multi-unit properties up and down our Route 9 corridor, even just because that's my experience. When I drive up and down, I go, I wonder if this one here has got that. And as we go forward and grow, you know, we're going to have people opting in or not in to our new sewer district. And I'd like to know that if they're opting out, but their septic system that's in the ground is functioning as it should be. So I don't. That might be another avenue someday, but I think some sort of an inspection requirement would be helpful for public health and safety. Whether it's needed by the state or not, I really feel like there's something we can be on top of. I mean, ultimately, the state's not going to go forward and put something across that would be hardship or something like that. And I'm not looking at it to create hardship at all, but I think some regulation from the town would go a long way in the future, keeping things safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on that topic, I agree. Specific to the mobile home park, though,
right.
Just one more comment, I'll share. I'm not a fan, you may have said the same thing, others might have. I'm not a fan of continuing to charge fees in 2019 unless we got a good policy. You know, that's just not fair to not be consistently enforcing the policy and or some people just doing the right thing and paying it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would support strongly the recommendation to have the building inspector work closely with the Department of Health to determine what the requirements are. And that will tell me what I think we need to do next.
So I'll direct him to do that, mm-hmm. and have him make a recommendation to the board. Mm-hmm. That's what we'd like to do, and that can be part of our conversation as we look to move forward and possibly amending policy on it. My greatest concern is that upon review of these fees, we have collected fees since 2016 without doing a single inspection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I have said and continue to be, you know, I want our town to be business friendly, mm-hmm. and that's not being business friendly. And you know, I think we should amend that policy to the level that maintains the level of public safety and health that may be required at the state level. And we can look at the fees based on what that requirement is down the road.
Who would be a good resource to help the building inspector if it's not us? Is it maybe the zoning administrator? If we were to establish a refined checklist that mm-hmm. has definitions, who would be a good stakeholder in that conversation?
Well, I think the first place to start would be to have that office reach out to our Glens Falls State DOH office, see what the requirements are, and on municipalities for any type of inspections for mobile home parks. And after that, there's other municipalities around here that have some sort of regulations in place. I think we can have council, she may have enumerated some in general terms here, provide us with some options to meet the goals of state DOH, and we can go from there.
Is it only mobile home parks that retain ownership of their own roads? I mean, everywhere else in the town, we've taken ownership? Or?
So mobile home parks are private property, mm-hmm. and which is another concern. We're going in directing somebody on private property whether or not they should maintain the road. Mm-hmm. You know, that can be debated, but, you know, I'm a huge proponent of property rights as a landowner myself, and that kind of goes counter to it. Now, when we go into and accept roads in the development, that is because we will be doing service to those roads, plowing, salting, sanding, maintaining them. And we don't do that in the mobile home parks.
So other than shopping malls and other private,
right.
you know, the mobile homes are the only places that have roads that we don't own and maintain.
Right. Right. So.
And is some of this possibly something that we could even change under zoning and code more so than if it's not a state requirement?
Yeah, if we back up a little bit, we've got the town's master plan, which has been reviewed and signed off by the zoning board and the planning board. It's now in the hands of the town board for comment and or changes to it. And once the town board signs off on it with any changes it may want, the next part of the process is phase two, which is reviewing zoning and our zoning requirements. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that would be part of that review.
I mean, I'm just looking at it from a standpoint where, like, if I know I have a problem with my septic tank or something, I won't work in my own house, I call a guy, he comes in and goes, "Your distribution box is bad. You can get away with it for however many long," but, mm-hmm. you know, so I would take care of mine. But if we have residents that, while they're on private property mm-hmm. in a mobile home park, and they're paying certain taxes towards the town, and they've got, you know, they're depending on us for certain things,
right.
are they in violation of the code that right now probably doesn't exist, but ultimately, you know, we're going to hire a code enforcement officer soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to need... I'm looking at it from a standpoint to keep everybody safe, ultimately.
Right. Well, the way things work now, if somebody is suspected of having a faulty septic system and a neighbor either sees runoff or smells it, a complaint can be filed with the billing department, and our billing department will go out and inspect to see if there's a violation.
And is our billing department adequately trained and equipped to know if there's a problem with septic?
You have raw sewage coming out to the surface. But so was it an issue in the last couple of years over on Bluebird Road with one of the trailer parks, the mobile home parks over there?
I have been made aware from time to time that they've had
issues.
Issues, yes.
And has the building inspector gone out and inspected that?
I know that during my tenure, the building inspector has gone out.
And DOH was involved.
And DOH was involved.
Yeah. Brought in that particular park.
Yeah. But they, you know, our inspector goes out, you know, and to any residents that files a complaint that their neighbor, they believe their neighbor doesn't have a properly installed septic system.
It might be worthwhile to ask the building inspector to ask the town of Queensbury and the town of Corinth, who both follow similar policy, maybe also because they've just been doing it since 1973. I don't know what their inspection process looks like. They'd probably be willing to share it.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay. Were you suggesting to do anything about the fact that we haven't been doing any work in 2017 and 18, or that is what it is and we just need to fix it going forward?
I don't want to put the town or the board in the position that we have a revenue policy in place that does not provide a service. So, you know, we have time to review it. I will most likely include the current fees in the budget for the number of units, $5 a mobile home. And as we get closer to adoption of the budget, if we have policy that we want to put in place, we can amend that number, either wipe it out. But if we have no policy in place and we're not doing inspections at the end of the budget process before we do final adoption, I'm going to pull it out.
You weren't suggesting to go back and do anything about past your water remediation?
No, but that raises another question. You know, we have people that owe the town money from 2015, 2014, 2013, and I don't even went back to 2012. So, does the board have any thoughts on how you want to handle that?
Well, my first question comes into: has the building inspector done any of the inspections that would be considered charging for?
My only information on that is we have not done a single inspection since 2016. Which is probably why that year we only collected $400 instead of $4,000.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So to go back in time to say, you know, we're old in 2014 for three different mobile home parks or four different mobile home parks, is it possible that those mobile home parks were never inspected, and why would we want to go try to get money?
Yeah, that I'd have to have the building department go through their records to find out if an inspection took place. Obviously, it's a slippery slope, because if an inspection didn't take place and the board was inclined to not require payment, then what about the people that did make payment?
Right.
You know, yeah. Do we want to be in a position where, to be fair, we're reimbursing them? So,
I think we work effectively and efficiently to remediate the problem.
Yeah.
You know, either we are going to keep doing inspections because we've got enough reasons why or requirements to do them, mm-hmm. and then we start to enforce consistently mm-hmm. and complete work consistently, or we don't. Mm-hmm.
And if we ultimately decide, in order for them to receive their mobile home park inspection permit, I guess it's called a permit, you know, it may be a requirement that anything in arrears be paid.
Or we add it as another additional item. I mean, there's
check off.
There's six requirements that they have to complete to
get
their license renewed, A through F. And none of them is proof that they paid there. So we could put a trap in there. If we agree it needs to be in going forward, in order to get their annual renewal, this is one of the items they have to pay their inspection fee.
Right.
Or any sort of change in front of zoning and planning. If they're looking for a variance or a permit, they still should be paying their fee.
Okay. that's a good point. And that can be part of the change in
and that's an easy one.
Our regulations.
It happens in other towns all the time.
Yep.
And there's some charges, like it's a $75,000 sewer bill. You're not going to get a sign permit until you pay a sign variance until you pay that $75,000 sewer bill. Mm-hmm. And they pay. Mm-hmm. So.
Good point there. Good. So action items are on the building inspector after you talk to him, and we own no action items until we have information to review.
Yeah, he will provide us with the recommendations. You know, again, this is something that doesn't have to happen in the next several weeks, but we should have it wrapped up before mid-November.
Okay. And your position, which I understand.